Penguin Random House Audio presents A Place in the World, Finding the Meaning of Home by Frances Mays. Read for you by Cassandra Campbell. For Peter Ginsburg, visionary agent and friend, and in memory of Audrey Wells and Charlie Conrad. How difficult it is to remain just one person, for our house is open, there are no keys in the doors, and invisible guests come in and out at will. Czesław Miłosz, Ars Poetica. Perhaps home is not a place, but an irrevocable condition. James Baldwin, Giovanni's Room. The house is the same size as the world, or rather, it is the world. Jorge Luis Borges, The House of Asterion. Preface. I could live here. The sprawling white farmhouse looms in my headlights. I always seem to arrive home from my travels at night. Stepping out of the car, I'm hit by the fecund smell of the Eno River, which cuts through our meadow. Wet grass needs mowing. The greeny scent rising from 1,000 trees and the sound of screeching tree frogs. If it's early summer, any breeze wafts the divine sweetness of magnolia and tea olive. In winter, winking string lights along the porch cast light onto the bumpy stone path that ruins the wheels of my roll-on. In deep summer, bright sparks of fireflies. In autumn, the crunch of fallen walnuts and a clutch of purple asters around the back door. Kiss the ground. Pull the door to you or the key won't turn. Then it does. Anyone home? Home. Where and why this house? Is home fixed forever or a movable concept? How do four walls, utilitarian and convenient, or soulful and evocative, connect with your metabolism and turn into that charged feeling of, I'm home? Or is home a quest never to be fulfilled? Down the road not taken, was there a blue door for you to open? Some writer said, my home is my subject's. What a floating idea of home. Mine feels more visceral, most alluring, the places where you feel an immediate illogical bonding. You wish you lived there, but you never will. Capri, San Miguel, Provence. You imagine yourself extant in another version that may for years run parallel to the road taken. What's the truth, that hotel that caused me to refer to it as home after 3 days, or the house where I grew up? The first 18 years, the spool bed, the mirror above the pink-skirted dressing table, ceiling fan pulling in a humid breeze over the buffer of hydrangeas around the house. Others? A boxy apartment at Stanford, where through thin walls I heard my neighbor cry out that Kennedy was shot. The New England salt box in Bedford, prim black and white, where snow came up to the windowsills and lilacs surrounded three sides of the house. On Hamilton Avenue in Palo Alto, the L-shaped house. The inside of the L all glass. Orange, lemon, loquat trees. My Selectric typewriter on a picnic table by the pool, poems blowing into the water. My San Francisco Victorian flat where I became single after years of marriage. That first night, surrounded by packing boxes, the foghorns sounded like strange, mournful calls from far under the ocean. I've always loved suitcases. The luggage rack stays up in my bedroom. That damp stone house above Florence where bats flew around the fireplace. The goulette in Turkey, where 10 of us slept on cushions under stars while the rigging clinked time with the swells. Home for a month, a whitewashed cottage in Crete, with bougainvillea blossoms wafting down the hallway. The rented house in Sicily can pull me back. I'm in the kitchen deciding what to cook and where I'll find a private spot to write about how we live there. Long after the key is returned, I'll revisit what Virginia Woolf called moments of being. Is where you are who you are? Maybe home is as small as a suitcase. I'm not looking for answers, but for more and more questions about what home means, how it hooks the past and pushes into the future. Often, it's mysterious. When my daughter was young, we lived in Summers, New York. In 1768, a man named Joseph Sunderland hid his account books, elaborately penned in black ink, along with 7 thick sheepskin condoms in the rafters. Over 200 years they waited for me, why me, to reach behind a beam and bring them back. A millwright and maker of coffins, enamored of a maid who lived in the attic room. We skated at night on Dean's Pond. Maybe he did, too. The old places we love will bring up the question that haunted medieval poetry. Ubi sunt? Where are? Short for Ubi sunt quiante nos fuerunt? Where are those who went before us? Who left a coin between the floorboards, a date scratched on the chimney, the growth chart on the door? At Chatwood, my home in North Carolina, the name Buck was painted inside the barn door. And when I entered, I always sensed a black horse. These homes are vast and dazzling to the imagination. This memoir is a floor plan of a lifetime of house and home obsession. Maybe each chapter is a room in the big house. Introduction. Imprint. As a child in Fitzgerald, Georgia, way back in the middle of the last century, that sounds archaic, I was struck with the wildness of the land. I felt the elemental potency beneath my black patent Mary Janes, polished with Vaseline. Quicksand could take the dog. A tornado might rip every trailer and shack into the sky. Collapsing limestone layers could swallow a house whole, only a crooked chimney visible in the sudden chasm. Or the river floods, jumps its banks, sending a shack drifting, forlorn family riding the roof. The air rising above asphalt roads shimmied in the heat, oncoming cars quivering like mirages, sheet lightning flashes like shook foil. There was, too, the acidic sweetness of roadside plums in the country, the dense scent of cotton fields after rain, lurid sunsets, water moccasins the size of my leg, icy springs bubbling out of the ground, and 10,000 other ways that I felt the innate energy of the place slapping me into a visceral identification with our plot of earth, clear as the outlines of a saucer magnolia, the southern instinct for place. Then came the homebred writers spoon-feeding me, Marjorie Kinnan Rawlings, I'll never get beyond the yearling, and her beloved homestead, a cracker farmhouse deep in the orange groves of North Florida. At 12, propped in bed, turning the pages of Gone with the Wind. What I was enchanted by was not the plot, the Civil War, or Scarlet and Rhett. I was hit by Tara, the iconic house. I absorbed the message. Home means more than anything. Later, I found Flannery O'Connor nailing her place to the ground, Thomas Wolfe in a boarding house in Asheville, elegiac and lyrical, Edgar Allan Poe all dire and sad, Carson McCullers, who had the guts to begin a book. In the town, there were two mutes, and they were always together. Zora Neale Hurston digging back into witchcraft, spells, folklore, with her philosophy of being too busy sharpening her oyster knife to bother with what others thought she should be bothered with. Frank Yerby. The librarian disapproved of my voracious reading of his steamy novels that featured keys being passed to forbidden lovers and thrilling affairs. I read and reread Eudora Welty, that going-to-ground writer, living at home with her mother, her homespun magic and gigantic talent. Then, my soulmate, James Agee, his sense of beauty in every crevice, his tragic love of place, and his gift for taking you there. And over us all, looming at 5'4", cross yourself as you say his name, William Faulkner, epic father, lonesome homebody. I already had the place inside, but when the writers came to me in high school and college, they named the nameless and thereby pinned me to their pages. Home. A place in the sun. Home. Briar caught, Christ haunt.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?